This morning, our message will travel along the lines of God's greatness, and particularly applied on this Mother's Day to the women who are in the grip of the greatness of God's omniscience. It's my observation over the years, going back to my youth, that one of the things that always plagued my mother was not knowing. Simply not knowing. She didn't know, especially during the summer months, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, where any of her children were at. And when I was around my friends, they all said the same thing about their mothers. We got our heads together and we pooled our resources, and it was determined that in each case, each of our mothers was always concerned about not knowing. And the complaint would come back time and time again. Would you please at least sometime during the course of the day check in? Let me know you're still alive. If you're going somewhere out of town, whether you're hitchhiking or you're walking, let us know where you're going. It's killing me that we don't know. It took us a while to get on to that. But in the years that have followed, I have noticed that that is a particular trait to women in particular, but mothers most specifically. And so let me share with you from the scriptures this morning and out of the message today how it is that women who are in the grip or are gripped by the greatness of God, and especially His omniscience, can have the peace that passes all understanding. You may be sitting here today not knowing certain things about your loved ones, not knowing certain things about your financial affairs, not knowing certain things about your physical dilemmas, not knowing certain things about other things that you have no control over in your life. I want to assure you that God knows. And nothing, nothing takes Him by surprise. We read at verse 9, Isaiah 40. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength lifted up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them with His bosom, or in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Well, the answer to that question is no one, because He knows everything. Everything actual, everything possible, every contingency without exception. Verse 15 goes on to say, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles of the nations as a very little thing. There are many things today that perplex me and you about the nations of the world, the global climate that we live in. There are some things that make us fear and shudder because we just don't know. I just want to remind you that God knows. And everything He knows, He's in control of. And inasmuch as He knows everything, He's in control of everything. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? It is said in the scriptures that a woman that feareth this God, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. In Psalm 33, the 8th verse, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And I say that any Christian woman or any mother who stands in awe of God will respond and react to things that evidence respect for and a love for God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, lead us down the scripture path this morning. May the Spirit of God be at liberty to bind upon our hearts that which is sufficient for our need today. You know, Lord, the beginning from the ending. You planned it. So, Lord, help us to take heed to the Scripture. Help us to remember the Scripture. And then, dear Heavenly Father, help us to live by it, every word of it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me give you a couple of, for instances, that are true of Christian women, generally speaking, but mothers in particular. Certain things are observable, like out of the book of Psalms, the 15th Psalm, the 4th verse, where we read that she honoreth them that fear the Lord. She honors them that fear the Lord. And she holds others, all others, in contempt, literally the wicked. She defers to the Lord. In Proverbs 14, verse 2, it is said that she walketh uprightly. She walks uprightly because she fears the Lord. And those that do not despise the Lord. There is a calculated direction on the part of a Christian woman that leads her in that path of the fear of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, it goes on to say in the very first verse that every wise woman buildeth her house. And I would add to that the scriptures where they build upon the rock. Build upon the rock. Somebody made that remark yesterday at a very timely juncture in our digging. I don't remember which one was it that said we had built our church on a rock. Was that you? That was a very obvious, and much irritating truth. Built upon the rock. Make no doubt about it, the church. The house that a wise woman builds will be built upon a rock. In the 14th chapter, the 16th verse there, a wise woman, one who fears God, departs from evil. She departs from evil. In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, they that fear the Lord hate evil, but among the other things there is pride, there is arrogancy, there is the evil way, and the froward, those with fraudulent mouths. She hates them. Godly mother, godly women, they also delight, according to Psalm 112 verse 1, it is said, she who fears the Lord delights in His commandments and is blessed. She is blessed. As a matter of fact, the psalmist goes on to say, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walks in His ways. And then the conclusion of the whole matter by the writer of Ecclesiastes said this, fear God and keep His commandments. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised, for she is in the grasp of the greatness of the omniscient God. Let me give you a little bit of instruction. You have your Bibles in hand this morning about the omniscient God. And I trust that this will be an encouragement, certainly to the ladies in our presence, but every single person in the room. There are just certain things that may rise to give us anxious moments and trouble our hearts. And if we sometimes, right or wrong, we will desire to know in advance how thing is going to turn out. Sometimes, however, we must realize that that desire preempts faith. God sometimes calls upon us to either endure certain things, go through certain things, or build certain things without knowing in advance how it is going to fall out. We have to rest content in that God's works are always righteous. He is a holy God who makes no mistakes. But beyond that, the tenderness of God is seen in His omniscience. I want you to think with me about this. Perhaps you might find a place in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3 that leads us into this study of the omniscient God and its practical import. Part of that verse will read this way, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3. The Lord is a God of knowledge. The Lord is a God of knowledge. And, practically speaking, a practical import to you. By Him, actions are weighed. By Him, actions are weighed. By this we mean God's perfect and eternal knowledge of all things which are objects of knowledge, whether they be actual or possible, present or future. He has and is the God of knowledge. And your actions and my actions are weighed by the omniscient God. Do you realize, as I have had to do so many times in my life, much to my regret, realize that when I have sinned, I did it in the full knowledge of God. I did it right in His face. I mean, when you consider His omniscience, that He knows everything, it goes correspondingly with His omnipresence. Where is He that you aren't? What do you do that He does not observe? The motives that bring forth your deeds, what does He not know about the motives that are the spring of our deeds? By Him, actions are weighed. Now, there are probably many mothers who have raised their children, and they look back and there might be some regret. But God weighs the actions. There are other instances in your life and mine where we may doubt a course or a choice that we have pursued, and we lament the consequence, and we wonder, gee, if I just had the opportunity to go back and do it all over again, we must remember that God weighs the action. And when it says that He weighs the action, consider this, the scale of justice. Truth and deed counterbalanced by the omnipotent God. One of the very first textbooks I had to spend money on, and I didn't get a chance to read the end of the book to see whether it was worth spending money on, was a theology book at college, Bancroft's Elementary Theology. I didn't see anything about it that was elementary, first of all. And I didn't see anything about it that was cheap, second of all. But it was a required purchase. But I have over the years, used it with great profit, along with all the other major theological works that are pretty much in existence today. And if I can't get them in my shelf, I can get them on the computer. And so there's a wide searching going on to gain a consensus of godly theological minds on a particular issue. It is true, according to the Scriptures, at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, that the Lord searcheth all hearts, and He understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. Job 31, verse 4 says this, doth not He see my ways and count all my steps? Now, ladies, think about that. Some of you got a lot of miles on you. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but do you realize that none of the steps that you have taken to this point in your life has been missed by God? You say, surely not even God with the size of the intellectual capacity for the storage of knowledge. Not even God could keep track of all of my steps, let alone multiply that by every single mother in this room and then expand it beyond this room into infinity. Surely not even God is able to reckon that. And I say, yes. He is the great I Am. He is the Creator. There is nothing He can't do. There is nothing impossible to Him except one thing, and only one thing. He can't sin. He never has. It's not possible. It's beyond Him. But think about this. There is in God no symbol or memory. There is no growth. There is no reflection. There is no reasoning. His knowledge is all direct and without intermediaries. And in Isaiah 40 and verse number 13, I remind you of what we read there. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? God was said by the ancient Egyptians. Now sometimes they got it right, sometimes not. But on this I do believe the ancient Egyptians got it right when they said that that God, with regard to His knowledge, is not having eyes, but being eye. Now catch that. He is not one as having eyes so that He can see, and the implication is if He didn't have eyes, how could He? It is that God is not so much having eyes, but that He is eye. In Job 21, verse 22, shall any teach God knowledge? Shall any teach God knowledge? Seeing He judgeth those that are high, His thoughts toward us are more than can be numbered. Would you please look at Psalm 40 and verse number 5? You know, it is sometimes put out that out of sight, out of mind. And again, with the force of Psalm 139 and the omnipresence of God, where can you go to flee His Spirit? And the answer comes back resoundingly, no place on earth. So you have here in Psalm 40 and verse number 5, many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works, which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are toward to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. His thoughts more than can be numbered. How many of you would take the task this morning of trying to number the stars? Some of those graphics that we have seen recently on the DVD presentations lead me to believe that no human mind could ever, with the strongest telescopes, ever count the number of stars in the universe. And think about then the thoughts, ladies. Think about the thoughts that He has toward you. And I say that especially because sometimes ladies don't think that they get a lot of attention. And sadly, some probably don't. Sometimes I think women, particularly mothers who are got their elbows deep in children and grandchildren. And by the way, you and I both know that you don't raise them to age 18, send them out never to see them again. They always seem to be there, and with good reason. God never intended that they should be outside the reach of the parental purview. But can you imagine a woman enmeshed in all of that who might get to thinking sometime that her work is so mundane and unobserved, obscure, and unnoticed that nobody even bothers to think about her? So you come to Psalm 40 and verse 5 and you realize that there is a God, the omniscient God, who not only thinks about you but thinks of you without number, and He weighs your actions. He is the God of knowledge. There is nothing hid from Him. He is never informed about you. He never loses anything about you. He is never surprised by anything that occurs in your life. He never fails to remember, with good reason. And I say that His thoughts toward me are more than can be numbered, not because there is a succession in them, or now a remembering and now a forgetting, but because there is never a moment of our existence in which we are out of His mind. Never. Never. He is always thinking of us. And the question I would ask when I think about that is, why would He? When you put it on a horizontal plane, aren't there some people in your life you'd rather soon forget about? And you find yourself more at peace not having to think about them. Isn't that true? And yet how many times have we, the creature, despised the Lord oftentimes to His face in spite of what we know He knows, and yet He never casts us aside. He never stops thinking about us. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart, according to 1 Samuel 16. So when you think about the omniscience of God, think about this also in Proverbs 15, verse 3. And this would be a good 3x5 memory marker to write down on the card, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, but put it where someplace where you frequent every day. It is this. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He's looking over my shoulder when I'm at study. He's looking at the same computer screen I'm looking at when I'm at work. He's sitting in the chair beside me in my living room watching the TV program that I'm watching. And more important than what he is able to observe me do, he also knows what drives me inside to do such. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and good. The evil and good. And when I read that, I'm also rejoicing in this. I am glad that our God is not like the God of many of our forefathers who created a persona of a God who was like unto a motorcycle police officer who was regaled in the finest of leather, who had the darkest of sunglasses, who had the biggest pistol in his side, who had the biggest knee-high leather boots you've ever seen, and the most fierce-looking Harley-Davidson motorcycle you've ever seen. Some, in previous generations, likened our God to a God like that who delighted in sitting behind the local billboards of your neighborhood, waiting till you come speeding by to just delight in giving you a ticket and provoking you. My God beholds all things, the good and the evil, but he does not bypass the good. He observes, he weighs our actions. Every good deed you did, mothers, with regard to your children, every good deed you did to your grandchildren, every kind and noble thing you did that was a building thing, God has weighed your actions. He beholds the good, and there's a lot of good to behold. So whether it be mothers or whether it be ladies in general, don't think that because nobody apparently is giving notice or apparently demonstrating that there's any thoughts about you. If that was the case, terrible indeed. But know this, that even if that is the case, God is thinking about you every day. You're never out of mind. It is said by an old Bible teacher by the name of Tozer. He said, God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter and all matters, all mind and every mind, all spirit and all spirits, all being and every being, all causes, all thoughts, every unuttered secret, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth. Now, can you get your hands around that? Can you let that truth grip your hearts? He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord and of great power. And then it goes on. There's a little blip at the end of that verse in Psalm 147:4. His understanding, his omniscience, his knowledge is infinite. And what does it mean to be infinite? What does it mean to be infinite? What is the definable term for infinity? There probably is, if you have a reliable mathematician, a skilled person with numbers, maybe you could mathematically define infinity by some numerical equation. I can't. All I know is that it's closely related, and correct me if I'm wrong somewhere, it is closely related to eternity. And I understand eternity a little bit more than infinity. Eternity, as I understand, has no calculable beginning and no calculable end. Eternity is infinite. God is infinite. He is infinite in His omnipotence. He is infinite in His omnipresence. He is infinite in His omniscience. He is infinite in His marvelous loving kindness. He is infinite in His justice. He is infinite in His mercy. They reach under the clouds, but that, you see, places a limit, but only for human perspective. For beyond that, our God is indefinable. And only as He chooses to reveal unto us His worthy attributes are we able to comprehend anything about Him. And this great God has a special place in His infinite heart for the mothers and the ladies of earth. It is that we find in Hebrews 4, verse number 13, these words. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. That means, if I can just localize it, there sits Unc and Audrey in the back. Steve and Kenny there. Al and Debbie back there. Sonny, Bob and Joyce, Dan and Chris, Ed and Eleanor, Tom and Sandy. My wife, my son, the Reddick tribe, the Barnhart tribe, the Hetrick group there. There's Jane and there's Leroy. There's Steve in the back and Sylvia trying to hide. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. None of you. Not at any time during the course of the day. Not at any time in the past. Not at any time in the future. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto Him, or unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And remember what the ancient Egyptian said about His eyes. It is not that He has eyes, but that He is eye. Omniscience. My dear friends, grasp, grip, lay hold of the greatness of God, or rather, may the greatness of God's omniscience grip you, even as it did. And with this I close this morning, even as it was so in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, with the Samaritan woman. Now I know that you know what I'm about to tell you. This woman, when she came finally in the providence of God to meet the Lord Jesus at the well, she came there with a domestic resume that was not so flattering. She came there with a track record of having had 5 men, none of whom were her husband. You know, one of the blessed things that I read about that passage? One was that there's never any mention that she had any children. I don't know how that could be, but I just know what the Scripture hasn't revealed. She didn't have any children. But nevertheless, in the providence of God, she meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have this little discussion about the water that is all sufficient, that takes away the deepest thirst. And there's a little discussion that went on about that. And then it went from there to something a little deeper. The Lord Jesus made one request that revealed to her something that every woman would profit in knowing. He makes this request. He said, go and bring your husband back with you. And there she is. My husband. She's probably thinking, fast forward, which one? Bring them all? Or bring the current one? No, but what that question exposed to her was, here was a man that she was talking to who was like unlike any other man she had ever had a discussion with. Christ was probably one of the first people she ever talked with who wasn't or didn't have ulterior motives concerning her. And here's what her analysis was. After she's all done talking and she goes back to her friends and her little community, here's what she said. Come and see a man that told me all things I ever did. He is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Is not this the Christ? Is not fair apprehension of the truth of God's omniscience a ready declaration of the divinity of the head of the church, the bridegroom? Is it not a bold declaration of the undiminished divinity of Christ in all of his omniscient glory? And so, ladies, whenever you think you're up to your elbows in something, or you're into a corner that you can't get out of, or when you get into a circumstance whenever you don't think that there's any resolution, just remember that you are the child of the omniscient God. He is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And he said, this unchangeless, always the same, yesterday, today, forever, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I trust that that might be for each of us, generally speaking, but particularly each lady present in this room, food for thought, a means of encouragement that when you come to a place in your life when you just don't know, remember, God knows. Trust him to sort it all out. Would you pray with me? Dan? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the very real blessing of your presence. Now, Lord, teach us as we go from here and as we take step by step, day by day, to realize who's with us arm in arm and who knows all about us and yet marvelously loves us still. Thank you for that truth in Jesus' name. Amen.